It is gone! A two-run home run for Reese Hoskins. Game over! Bronco wins it!
He got it! Pulled it right out of the bushes!
Swing and a miss! He got him! And Aaron Nola leads two.
Swing and a miss! Struck him out!
Now batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 261. I'm John Stolness from SB Nation's Phillies blog, The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter, at John Stolness. We still don't have Bryce Harper, but what we do have are good friends Justin Clue and Liz Rocher to tell you all about how we still don't have Bryce Harper, but we might be getting closer. Justin Clue, head guy at The Good Fight. You can follow him on Twitter, at Justin_Clue. Justin, we don't have Bryce yet, buddy. But, you know, we're all tracking airplanes this weekend and refreshing Twitter every 4.5 seconds. Man, it feels like it's about to happen, pal.
Sure. Hey, have you been to the Phillies home website lately? Because for some reason right now they have a picture of John Middleton and Gabe Kapler. It looks like they're being forced to watch another team sign Bryce Harper on the field at spring training.
Oh God. I need to look at this. Hang on. Let me pull this up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the lead shot. You bring that webpage up. It's the first thing you see.
And What's that photo smell?
Yeah. The photo intern who took that picture really just grabbed it the first thing he saw when he searched for Middleton and Kapler in the photo database. Like,
They could have done better. They could have done better.
Well, hopefully they've got a picture of smiling Phillies executives in the very near future to answer your question.
Absolutely. Liz, with Yahoo Sports, Liz Rocher, follow her on Twitter at Liz Rocher. How are you feeling now as it seems like we might be starting to get a little bit closer to this thing happening?
Oh God, please let it happen soon. I'm just ready. We're all ready for, as soon as it happens, I'll be so thrilled. We'll all be so excited and immediately, you know, it'll all be like none of this ever happened. But it needs to actually happen first, please.
You know, I will say that I've had a hard time getting excited about spring training and these games starting up with this thing still hanging over our head because it feels like the team's not complete yet, you know? It doesn't feel like the 2018 Phillies are together yet because we're still waiting for this. And so that's kind of why I've been a little bit reluctant. I've been kind of holding spring training at arm's length so far, waiting to see what the real team's going to look like. And that's probably not fair to the team that's played three spring training games so far. And we're going to give you some thoughts about, you know, what we've seen over these first three games. Only one of them has been televised so far, but just some initial thoughts. Now it's the spring schedule gets underway, but we've got to start off talking about the flight to Vegas from John Middleton. It kind of shocked everybody. I was driving from Northern Virginia up to the Philadelphia area to visit my parents when I started getting notifications on my phone as I was driving, and so that was kind of an inopportune time for all this to be going on. So I caught up once I got home and finding out John Middleton boarded his plane and flew to Vegas. And whenever anything like that happens, you start to think to yourself, "Oh crap, this could happen like really fast." And nobody was dissuading anybody from that line of thinking until John Middleton headed home on Saturday. I'd say, oh, well, nobody was expecting Middleton to actually sign Harper this weekend. That's not what people were saying Friday night. You know what I mean? Like, this was really starting to feel like the train chugging down the tracks. And I thought it was very interesting, Justin, that it was Middleton who went by himself. He did not bring Matt Klentak with him. Where do you think we are in this whole thing? Because we've heard Jim Salisbury, he wrote on Sunday night that the Phils are still full steam in pursuit of Harper. They seem to be the favorite to land him, although it's not clear. Salisbury kind of hedged here, which I didn't like. It's not clear which teams the Phils might be competing with reports of other clubs still being in the mix. He did say there's a feeling around baseball that the Harper Derby could reach the finish line sometime this week. Buster Olney reported on SportsCenter Sunday morning that there's increasing hope in the Phils organization that a deal will be done by Tuesday. And USA Today's Bob Nightingale is even more optimistic, said a deal could be done by Monday. So given all that's happened since Friday night, Justin, where are you emotionally, mentally, intellectually, where are you on Harper right now? Because we're obviously all thinking, hoping that this is going to get done real soon.
Well, we all know that there's a layer of baseball writers who you sit up and pay attention when they say something, and a layer that you don't do that anymore. This offseason has been a great lesson in that. And we don't have to get into that because I think we covered it pretty well last week. So the fact that some more efficient baseball writers were bothering to speak up was, I think, of note, just on its own. But I'm not too worried about Salisbury hedging his bets, just because Jim Salisbury is going to be the one who, when he says this deal is done, it's actually going to be done, so that he's reluctant to be anything but professionally vague doesn't really concern me as much. Like, he's going about this in a way that ensures that he's going to get it right, I guess. Like, he's not going to be wrong on his way to being right. So that doesn't really concern me that much. As far as where we are with Harper, I feel like things are falling into place. I think that this has all been pretty inevitable. And I feel like a lot of people have known that the Phillies and Bryce Harper are going to be, partnered up eventually during this offseason. But the illusion that there's been like some sort of bidding war going on has had to be maintained. And from people who weren't maintaining that illusion, there's just been silence. So I think that it hasn't been like even unofficially agreed upon yet, but I think that it's just sort of been viewed as this foregone conclusion. And I think we're reaching the end of that. I kind of stopped seeing this as any sort of suspenseful baseball story a couple weeks ago, and I feel like I feel like I've come through on the other side. I feel like Andy Dufresne crawling through the sewage pipe at the end of Shawshank Redemption at this point. And like I feel like that'll come to true fruition when they actually sign Bryce Harper, but I do feel like my mental state has cleared up. I see the stuff that's happening on Twitter, and I'm not judging anyone for how they have received every little nugget of news as it's come out, or, not news, whatever you would call the quote unquote information as it's been belched into the social media atmosphere. But I feel like I've got a healthy outlook on this, that, it seems very likely to me and inevitable to me that the Phillies and Bryce Harper are going to wind up in an agreement with each other. And that was probably the conclusion we could have bet on the entire time. But if he doesn't, and if for some reason we're reading about Bryce Harper signing with the Giants tomorrow, even though even a Giants writer said that he's not getting the vibe that anything big is about to happen at Giants camp, but he is getting that vibe from the Phillies camp, even if he were to sign elsewhere at this point, I don't know. I don't want to say relief. I don't want to be the obnoxious guy who's like, oh, I'm just relieved. It's over. I'm through it. I got my fists clenched. I'm looking up at the rain as it pours down on my face after I've climbed through a river of human feces. And I just, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah. All right.
Let me finish this metaphor. I'm done. I'm out. And I'm just waiting for Bryce Harper to meet me in Se Watanejo.
Okay. Yeah, I like how you brought that home. It needed that. I like that you brought that home. Very well done. Absolutely. Yeah, Liz, the Giants writer that he's talking about is Henry Shulman, who's with the San Francisco Chronicle, reported the Giants have made at least one long-term offer to Harper. We don't know exactly what that is. He doesn't know exactly what that would be. He said, but he did say top executives of the Giants were in Scottsdale, not in Vegas, and that there was no vibe around the team that something big was about to happen, and that there is that vibe in Philly's camp, although it's fair he's not a Philly yet. I think what's interesting here, Liz, is that Middleton went there by himself. And that seems to me like this has become less about meeting a number, less about evaluation and having evaluation exceeded, and more about an emotional response. John Middleton understanding what Phillies fans want, what this would mean to the town for him to come to Philadelphia. This is what everybody is talking about right now. Everybody in Philadelphia and really the baseball world is talking about Bryce Harper. And I think Middleton understands the capital that's involved in that. It's not just about how many home runs is Harper going to hit, what's his OPS going to be. All those numbers are going to be good to great, I think, over the course of a deal. But what's really impacting this as far as Middleton is concerned, I think, is the emotional aspect of knowing you bring this guy aboard. The Phillies are the talk of this town, even with the Sixers being as interesting as they are. Everybody's going to be talking about Bryce Harper, and this team's going to be going into the regular season just a red hot ticket. That's worth tens of millions of dollars on a long-term deal that you would add on to that. So I want just give me your thoughts on over the last 24 to 48 hours as we're recording this.
I think that Middleton went there. I mean, I imagined him and Boris sitting together. Like, I'm sure Harper's involved, but I really feel like this was a, all right, let's sit down and talk this out. Like, what does he want? You know, this, I'm all that's left. I'm all you got, Scott. You know, let's hammer this out. What are the big figures? You know, we can let the, I'm just going to call him the turtle man from now on. We can let Matt Klentak, you know, hammer out all the option years and all that stuff. But, you know, what are, you know, let's get those numbers on paper. You know, I feel like it was that type of visit. Like, hey, let's get our arms around all of this and get this finished, because otherwise everyone will die.
Well, I wonder if even he's even leaving the opt-out stuff to Klentak. I'm not so sure that Middleton's just not taken over as far as, you know, as far as what they want to do here with numbers wise and with a contract and all that, because it seems to me he's taken the reins back from this thing, which is what we've been calling him to do. This stopped being a baseball decision a long time ago, and it became a money decision. And obviously when they didn't get Manny Machado, it became all about Bryce Harper. And so I don't think that this says anything bad about Klentak. When you're talking about a deal like this, everybody knows that the Phillies want Bryce Harper, and they seem to be the only team in this. And I guess, Justin, the balance they have to look at right now is how much are you bidding against yourself? But I think giving Bryce Harper a 10-year, $330 to $350 million, what's the difference between $330 million over 10 years and $350 million over 10 years? Like, what, $5 million a season? $3 million a season? Like, there's not much difference. There's not much difference there in the grand scheme of things when you look at it that way. So, you know, I just feel like this is, and the whole thing with the plane going back and forth, people watching the plane taking off on Saturday and tracking it. Well, it's not going to Clearwater. It's going to Tampa. Maybe Middleton's not on the plane. Do we even know where Middleton is right now? We went from it being a weird baseball story to a Scooby-Doo episode. It was just bizarre.
Watching airplanes on radar is the most cursed technology we've received in the digital age, especially among sports blogs and fans, because that becoming the sort of traditional activity when you're looking to see whether a team's going to sign somebody or not, as if that's it's so useless. I don't know. It just seems like, all right, now we know he's there. We probably would have known that anyway, but at the same time, I guess we know where he is along his journey, or at least where the plane is. It does add this sort of conspiratorial subplot to the entire Bryce Harper narrative throughout this offseason, which, you know, hey, I'm always down for an absolutely absurd angle on a topic that's so ground into nothingness that we need to invent conspiracy theories to thrill ourselves about whether or not the Phillies are going to sign a player. As far as the money, I'm glad you asked, John. As a billionaire, I can tell you that it does matter very much the difference between $10 million here, $10 million there. I'm trying to buy my kids the fleet of helicopters that is their right for turning 12. So that's going to impact my ability to do that moving forward. So that is something that I keep in mind when my head hits the pillow every night. But no, realistically, I would say that this is less to me, and I think this is the same way we'd answer this question at any point throughout this process. This is less to me about the dial being turned as far as like how much money that Bryce Harper is given in this deal. It's more of a switch, an on-off Bryce Harper switch. And John Middleton's there to make sure that the switch is flipped in the on position so that Bryce Harper is on the Phillies team when the regular season starts at the very latest. So, yeah, I don't think this is about Matt. I don't think Matt Klentak is like in his war room evaluating equations as far as like the value Bryce Harper would have on the Phillies team. We're so far past that. It cracked me up that John Middleton's visit to Las Vegas was called by at least one person a meet and greet, because, you know.
Yeah, Jeff Passan wrote that on Friday night. How could it on
February
earth be a meet 21st, and greet at this
we have
point?
Been going through this process for what, 4 or 5 years now, and John Middleton,
you know,
has not
wondering.
Met or greeted Bryce Harper yet? Man, what have you been doing?
I'd like to get to know more about this little Bryce Harper. I'd like to get to know. I mean, yeah,
it's
come
not.
On.
It can't be a meet and greet at this stage. He doesn't hop on a freaking plane and fly out to Las Vegas for, you know,
I was
going to
say a cheese plate, but yeah, no, same
scotch.
Thing.
Like, I mean, this isn't like, you know, meet and greet and then go watch Don Rickles do a tight 30. Like, this is, they're talking numbers. What is a meet and greet at this stage?
Does it disappoint you at all, Liz, that, you know, they were talking numbers this weekend and, you know, Middleton flying all the way out there? Does it? I would have thought that he would not have wanted to leave Las Vegas without having something locked in. You know, I think, and maybe they agreed to the parameters of a deal, and all that's left is kind of working out the opt-out. And I want to get into the opt-out stuff in just a few minutes, because I think it is interesting, and, you know, there may be a walk-away point with the opt-out, even if you agree on the long-term money. But I really did think that we would hear before John Middleton left, I didn't think he was going to bring Bryce Harper with him on the plane down to Clearwater. I mean, I never thought that that was a realistic possibility. But I thought by the time John Middleton left Las Vegas, we were going to hear that a framework to a deal had been agreed to, or something like that would have come out. And I'm a little disappointed to hear Salisbury writing on Sunday night that there are other teams competing still. And, you know, John Heyman, and we all know what John Heyman has been like this offseason, but writing that there were other teams in Las Vegas meeting with Harper this weekend, how is that even physically possible, given how long Middleton was there? There's no way that could have been possible that other teams were in Las Vegas meeting with Bryce Harper and Scott Boras. But to me, it was a little bit of a disappointment that they didn't have something more concrete ready to announce. And I still don't know. We still don't know exactly where they are in this process, whether this is going to take another few days. Are the Giants really involved here? I mean, Justin, I applaud you for being kind of like, just wake me up when this is done. But I'm still like chomping at the bit every time I see another team's beat writer say something about another long-term offer.
I mean, that's what everyone's going to be reporting on. Every writer who has a chance to make their story about Bryce Harper is going to jump on that, because that's the only thing people are talking about in baseball right now. Do you know what the Phillies spring training record is? I mean, it's not that hard to guess, because they've only played three games, but
it's 2-1. Yeah.
There was a notable silence there, because people aren't really even focused on the actual spring training yet. It's mostly just Bryce Harper all across baseball. It definitely was disappointing that John Middleton didn't fly back to Clearwater and then surprise everybody by marching Bryce Harper off the plane in a full-on Phillies uniform. But like at this point, they don't have to do a whole lot to stir PR about this. When again, people are watching radars for air flights of private jets. They're kind of, everyone's kind of doing their work for them. Like, we're all aware of what's happening, or as aware as we can be without inside information before it even happened. So it's disappointing that he didn't come out with a more concrete, conclusion to even just this part of the process. But, you know, people are kind of doing their job for them by saying like, oh, John Milton's plane is in Las Vegas. Oh, here's how the dinner went. This is what we know. Oh, this is the plane is gone now. Is John Milton on it? We don't know. Like it's sort of keeping it all in everybody's heads without having to reach a conclusion, which is like, you know, if you're someone like me who's just waiting for an end to this, then it's all just kind of the same type of nothing. But if you're looking at it from an entertainment perspective, then this has been essentially very good. I know a lot of people are looking at this right now as the liveliest, most fun part of the offseason for the Phillies, and that's saying a lot given how miserable people have described themselves as being up to this point. So yeah, no, I think it's obviously disappointing, but anything that doesn't result in a Bryce Harper signing right now is disappointing.
Liz, I've heard a lot of people saying online, and I'm sure they've said it to you as well, they just want this to be over. They don't even care anymore, that they just want this to be over. And I think at this point, I think it's a lot of nonsense. We've invested this much time into this, this much RAM in our heads, this much podcast time we've devoted, an entire off-season's worth of...
Everyone saying that is lying. Anyone saying that is lying, like straight up. They want it to be over, but if it ended in any way other than Bryce Harper signs with the Phillies, I think the city explodes. Like, people don't want it to be over. They want it to be over with him here. That's it. You know, anybody who's saying, like, I just want it to be finished, you're lying. You're just lying.
Are you surprised right now, Liz, that the way things were looking on Friday night, are you surprised that we're sitting here on Sunday night and that we don't have anything definitive? We don't have an announcement on Twitter that a deal's been reached or anything like that?
I'm not surprised, mostly because he didn't bring Klentak with him. I mean, I don't think, you know, he's taken like the option years, like the nitty gritty stuff in a contract. That's not nothing. Like, those are like ticket privileges and, you know, whatever they're going to do in the later years of his contract and bonuses for plate appearances and, you know, MVP and stuff like that. Like, that's all important and stuff that has to really kind of be locked down somewhere at some point. And you, if you're going to do that, you bring Matt Klentak with you to do it. You know, when he brings a secretary or whoever it is that comes with him and they do it. I figured that he was going to just sit down and have it out with Scott Boras, figure out a ballpark figure and say, all right, well, we'll get you a draft by Monday. And we'll, you know, what do you think? You'll see if you like it, and then we can go from there. That was my
or he can just tweet that at John Heyman and he can tell Scott Boras.
That's right. That would help out.
Was he the one saying that there were more teams meeting with him?
Heyman
weekend?
Was.
Is that
yeah.
him?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. Everyone needs to stop. Stop believing him. He is barely a step up from the guessers, from the people who are just tweeting things like they know, but really what they're doing is taking a bunch of news and making a guess. He's just a step above that right now. Just stop believing him.
That's very generous of you to give him a full step above nobody.
I know, I was going to say.
Listen, he's been in the biz for a long time. He at least deserves a little bit of respect. I don't know, respect with a question mark.
To me, that was true maybe 2 months ago. At this point, he's tweeted his credibility to death.
No, he has. And the problem is that it's obvious. It's blatant. Like, it's not even dressed up at all. It's that's what's really kind of almost shameful about it, is that it's
shameful. It's,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's shameful. And I, you know, John Heyman's never been one of my favorites, but I've never, this offseason has broken him. And I talked about this with Kevin Cooney on the last podcast a little bit too, about how some of the national writers have really just abandoned the journalistic standards that most people use in these types of situations. I mean, if you're just going to kind of, you have to make it clear that it's your opinion. You know, you can't be a reporter tweeting this kind of stuff where, you know, using the same medium in the same exact way when you report breaking news. I mean, it sounds, we trust these guys when they're tweeting that they're telling us information that they know. And if you're just relaying something from someone else, it's not right to not make that clear. But, you know, it's kind of like talking on background and just regurgitating what somebody would tell you on background. You know, it's just
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That's my problem, is that it's not like anything anymore. It's just what he's doing. And I don't think he cares anymore. I think he's just like, whatever, blurp, blurp, what do you need, Scott? Here you go. Like, it's just nothing at this point.
Well, listen, up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about Harper. I want to get into some of the opt-out stuff and talk about another Boras client. And you wonder if they might be kind of joined at the hip here as we get deep into the offseason and as we approach the regular. That's who we're talking about. No, that's not who we're talking about at all. We'll get to that up next right here on Hittin' Season. And we're back on Hittin' Season, continuing some Bryce Harper conversation before we get to some other stuff. I wanted to talk about the opt-outs real quick, Justin. I'm thinking along the lines of Manny Machado got a 5-year, got an opt-out after the 5th year, which I think for a 10-year deal is great. I think that benefits both sides. You know, Manny Machado hits the market again at a fairly young age, but again, 5 years of team control basically takes you throughout his entire prime. And I thought that one of the ways the Phillies could better the Machado contract for Harper and make it sweeter for him, in addition to giving him 10 years at more money, beating the Machado contract, is to give the opt-out after year 4. So that way they don't hit the free agent market at the same time again. You also get Bryce Harper back into the market when he's a year younger than Manny Machado, and also it's after Mike Trout has already hit free agency. But you wonder, what would you guys do if Harper's camp agreed to a 10-year, $330 million deal, but wanted the opt-out after year 3? Justin, would that be too early for you? I don't know that I would want to do that if I'm the Phillies. Sign a 10-year deal, but only have a guaranteed 3 years of Bryce Harper. That to me is basically like a guy saying, you know, I'll play with you guys for a few years until I can hit the market again and find a team I really want to play for. Do you care about that at all?
You know, a year is a long time. I guess it's more just like the on-off switch concept I was just talking about. It gets him on the team now. So on the one hand, I get that like the appeal of this is like, regardless of how we look at the future, it would get him on the team now and it would get him on the team for the next 2 years. But 3-4, I mean, those are the magic numbers, right? Like that just seems like when we were talking about Patrick Corbin, when we're talking about signing other pitchers, three or 4 years, for some reason, that's just the line. Three sounds too little. Four sounds like just enough. Anything after four is just like a while. I don't even have to think about this like for half a decade. This is fine. So yeah, three just sounds like you can round it down to zero too easily. But at the same time, you know, if it gets him on the team, the opt-out doesn't mean he's necessarily going to use it. It's an escape hatch. He doesn't have to pull it. Everything we've heard, or at least for a time, everything we heard was being colored by the added fact that, the added rumor that Bryce Harper didn't want to play in Philadelphia. So if that were to be true, and if there were for any reason that you had to give him some sort of addendum that allowed him to think like, all right, I signed this deal, but I don't have to play here forever. I'm not trapped. I don't know. I mean, I get that. Who wants to be the idea of a 10-year contract or a however long contract? That's terrifying. I mean, that's why the opt out exists, to think that you're signing this document that locks you into one situation for the rest of your, just certainly for the rest of the productive years of your career, if not the rest of your career in its entirety. I don't know.
Well, then why not just sign a 3-year deal with a team you really, really love then?
That's a great question for Bryce Harper. But if we're assuming that's an option, why wouldn't he have taken any of the rumored shorter term deals that he would have gotten thus far? Like we heard that's the kind of deal he would have gotten from. At one point, we heard that was the deal he would have gotten from the Giants. We heard different rumors that was other smaller market teams were kind of trying to sneak in as the process went on and offer shorter term deals like that. I mean, if that was what he wanted, wouldn't he have taken that?
Well, that's
what
I would have thought. That's what I'm saying. I think he wants to set the record. He wants that big contract, Liz. He wants the 10-year, $330 million, but he also wants to have the opt out after year three. And I, you know, if it were me, I guess I would probably do it. But I could understand if I'm the Phillies, man. That would be tough for me to walk away. It'd be tough to walk away from Bryce Harper, given how far down the road we are. If you know, over an opt out after year three instead of year four. But what is your take on the opt out, and how soon would be too soon?
I mean, you don't walk away on a opt out on year three versus year four. Like, these are smaller details that can be resolved by moving money around into different years, front loading or back loading, adding mutual options. Like, if Bryce Harper is walking away over the Phillies not wanting to have an opt-out after year three, which is, to me, far too early. Like, if you're having an opt-out after year three, then this is a 7-year contract and not a 10-year. If you want a 10-year contract, then the opt-out goes after year four or five at the absolute earliest, to me. Like, if he's walking away over this, his priorities are out of whack.
No, I'm saying the Phillies would walk away. Like, if the Phillies agree to a 10-year $330 million contract, but Bryce Harper wants an opt out after year three, that the Phillies would walk away, because that's not enough time. Would you walk away if you were the Phillies, if Harper was saying after 3 years?
I mean, I guess probably, but it would also be, there's no reason for Bryce Harper to make an opt-out after year three, like a sticking point, because if he gets that long contract that he wants, like, that would be a monumentally stupid thing to do. If he's got the Phillies on the line for 10 years, $330 million, to say, well, the opt-out's going after year three, I'm not budging and forcing them to walk away, that's dumb, because no one else is going to sign him. Like, at this point, you have to look at what his options are. His options are Philadelphia for all the money he wants, or another team for a lot less. So is he like, that's why I'm not really like, the opt out after year three is definitely too early. But I also am not worried that he wants one after then, because that would be stupid. Scott Boras wouldn't allow that. He wouldn't allow it.
I would like to jump in and say that having had Liz's answer to think about my own hemming and hawing, I would like to go back and say that I would sign, I'd sign Bryce Harper to whatever got him in a Phillies uniform, actually. So that is my answer. Yeah. I would sign Bryce Harper to whatever he needed to be in Clearwater tomorrow.
I think I'm with Justin, although I have been going back and forth on this all day as I've thought about it, because I don't want to see the Phillies get played here. I said in the last podcast, I don't need the Phillies to win these negotiations. If the goal is for the Phillies to win these negotiations, like if Matt Klentak and John Middleton are trying to quote unquote win the negotiations, that's the wrong thing to do. You want to win Bryce Harper. That's the thing here, is that's what you want to bring home. And you're right, Justin, getting him in a Phillies uniform, this team plays as well as we think they can play. They're going to be a very successful team. They might get Bryce Harper to the place he wants to get to, which is to a World Series. He might find that, like many people who come to this town, many athletes who come to this town where this isn't their first choice, they end up staying here forever. Chase Utley was born and raised in L.A. Couldn't be a more opposite place than Philadelphia. Loves it here. Same with Cole Hamels. Loves the
Shane
Philadelphia.
Shane Victorino.
Hawaii, for crying out loud. Couldn't be a more different culture to come from. Come to Philadelphia and you fall in love with the town. And especially the way this city is embracing Bryce Harper already. You know, it's like, once Philadelphia decides they like somebody, they'd have to do pretty awful in order for the city to turn on them. I mean, they basically would have to have a backup right fielder come in and run the Philly special in the World Series. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only way somebody that high of a positivity rating has the city turn on them in that kind of span. So, yeah.
And once he starts spouting all the scripted, like, oh, I've always loved it here, and they say, like, what's the driving reason you signed with the Phillies? And he uses his the fans.
Yeah, we'll
definitely
eat that
the
up.
Fans.
we'll
I'm self aware of that, and I will eat that up when he says it.
We will gobble that up by the armful, you know, and just keep shoving
wow,
it in our faces.
Wow, he chose us.
He's a Philly guy. Okay, so I guess I'm with you. I think if he insisted on an opt-out after year three, I would probably still go through with the deal. But,
I don't disagree. I think that they should do whatever it takes to get him in a Phillies uniform. But I also don't think either side is going to be that stupid. Scott Boras isn't a moron. He's not going to do something that makes the Phillies completely, you know, get angry during this process. If they're both negotiating together, no one's going to be stupid. I'm not worried about where the opt-out is, because I think whenever it happens, it's going to be somewhere sensible. And if it's not, it means the Phillies decided they weren't going to give him as much money and are giving him other things.
Yeah. So
you heard it here first, folks. Liz Rocher does not want Bryce Harper anywhere near Philadelphia. Stay tuned.
So before we move on to other things, are you at all worried about this Henry Schulman from the San Francisco Chronicle reporting that the Giants have made at least one long-term offer to Harper? Because coming into this, all we had heard is that the Giants were only willing to offer short-term deals. And we don't know whether this long-term deal would be 8 years or 10 years, or whether Schulman's report is even correct. And obviously, all the momentum before we saw that from Henry Schulman was Philly, 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 with the exception of the random John Heyman tweet straight from the mouth of Scott Boras. So that's the question. And that's why, as I sit here on Sunday night and I've got this Giants beat reporter saying, well, this team that I think he really wants to play for, I mean, I wrote for The Good Fight, why the Giants make no sense whatsoever, even if they're willing to match the Phillies contract offer. San Francisco makes absolutely no sense from a ballpark perspective, from a chance to win perspective. None of that. It has absolutely nothing on Philadelphia at this point. Nevertheless, it seems, based on reporting, is that Harper would prefer to play in San Francisco. If it's close, it worries me a little bit. I mean, so Justin, the possibility of San Francisco offering a long-term deal, does that worry you at all?
All right, let's imagine that we live in a world where Bryce Harper is definitely not signing with the Phillies, and he's definitely signing somewhere else. Going to the Giants is maybe one of the softer landings of Bryce Harper on another team. Like, he's not on the Nationals anymore. He's out of the Phillies division. He didn't land on any of the other rival teams in the same division. He's not even he's way out. They barely have to face him during the season, and he's on a team that, even with him on it, probably isn't going to do a whole lot of damage in the National League. And that's part of what makes it such a bizarre choice, as you said, for him to pick the Giants over the Phillies. I don't want to have so much, assuredness that I feel like the Phillies are so appealing to any free agent. I get why you would not want to come here. Every day we see reasons why you would not want to come play in Philadelphia for the entirety of the back end of your career. But if we're talking about him signing with another team, then the Giants, I mean, you know, after the initial sting of him not being with the Phillies, which is really the only, you know, the only part, it doesn't matter where he went. The first thing we'd be reacting to is that he's not on the Phillies. Once you get past the initial sting of that, the fact that he chose the Giants is, I don't want to say laughable, because then they'll come out and, you know, win 20 games in the first 2 months of the season. But at the same time, it could have been worse, I guess. He could still be on the Nationals. Like, if the Nationals sneaking in and being a mystery team and getting him back, that would suck, I think, a lot more. We'd be left just asking questions like, why? What was important to you? The money, I guess? I don't know. It would be a bizarre choice, and it would keep him out of the Phillies' hair for a little more than he has been in the beginning of his career.
Liz, how about you? Are you at all concerned about the Giants at this point?
I'm not really. I mean, they can throw money at him, but he's not blind. He sees where the Phillies are. He and Rhys Hoskins are friends on Instagram. he's aware of what the Phillies have to offer. He watched them trade for JT Realmuto and sign Andrew McCutchen and David Robertson and extend Aaron Nola. Like, he knows that they're serious. He knows that they've been through. He's watched them play in the National League for his entire career. He knows the arc of the Phillies, and he knows that they're on their way up. He also knows the arc of the Giants, and it's on their way down. You know, it'll be a tough decision. Maybe the money will be similar. I have a hard time believing it will be. That the money is going to be all that similar, you know, maybe within, you know, 10, you know, some tens of millions of dollars. But, you know, if it is similar, he'll have to look at the two teams and say, do I want to be a 2-hour plane ride or however long, you know, an hour and a half plane ride, you know, to where I grew up? Or do I want to get a World Series before the end of my contract?
There's just no way.
That those are the comparisons. Like, everyone is like, he wants to play in San Francisco. He would prefer to play there. Like, are you getting this from his mouth?
Yeah.
Unless one of these bozos is getting it from his mouth, his actual mouth, then it means nothing. It's air. It's absolute just fantasy to think that, you know, like, people are just assuming. Someone said that. It's an assumption that he would rather play closer to where he was born, and everyone's treating it like it's gospel.
There's just no way a 90-minute plane ride is worth playing in a stadium 81 games a year where he's got a 164 career batting average in 19 games on a team that's plummeting towards the NL West cellar as its best players get older, and there's, like, few people supplementing that core talent. And I mean, I don't want to be a broken record here, but as we've been discussing this, all I'm thinking is, like, the Phillies have just set this table that, like, not even just and left one chair open for Bryce Harper. It's like a chair that only fits Bryce Harper's body. Like, hey, man, we've got this team that will be your team. This team was, like, built to be around you. And we've got this city that's dying to accept you. We've got all the money in the world. What's the holdup? What's the holdup? What could anyone else be offering that's more? I refuse to believe. And I said this to you on Twitter, John, the other day. Like, when John Heyman described him as less than enamored with Philadelphia, we are all less than enamored with Philadelphia 95% of the time. And I refuse to believe this godforsaken crap city covered in slush and like grayscale skies this time of year, and the absolute, like, oh my god, where that guy was putting flyers in people's mailboxes in Brewery Town about a steel furnace that they were going to build and, like, burn each other alive for some insane reason, a neighborhood I used to live in, by the way. I refuse to believe that this city is so unappealing that Bryce Harper would throw away the last half of his career playing somewhere else that currently is so clearly not as good a fit. That like he would look at everything the Phillies have done thus far to make themselves a contender for him and be like, you know what? I don't like the way I was heckled in Philadelphia once. Like it just doesn't seem realistic. And I guess that's where my weird, eerie calm comes from. That like, how could this possibly go any other way?
He has said in the past that he doesn't get booed that much in Philadelphia. He gets booed more in Atlanta than he does in Philadelphia. And he has talked glowingly about the ballpark. I agree with you intellectually, Justin. From where I sit, and that's why I wrote the Giants piece a couple weeks ago, there's absolutely no world in which it makes sense for him to choose San Francisco over Philadelphia. If San Francisco was a better team, then okay. But, you know, even though it's a worse ballpark for him, but I could understand that. But, I mean, you're also going to be so super rich. You don't have to live in the areas of Philadelphia where people are going to put flyers into your mailbox to warn you about a man-eating furnace. You know, that just
buy Ryan Howard's house. Wasn't that for sale right, like a couple of weeks ago? Like, come on,
Jimmy
man.
Rollins just put his mansion up for sale. You can just slide right in. I mean, there's really no problem there. So, listen, up next, we're going to move away from Harper a little bit, talk about some of the Philly spring games that we've seen played so far. We've actually only seen one on TV, so we'll just give you a couple of thoughts about that. And also with the Oscars on TV as we're recording this now, we'll talk about the best baseball movie we think has ever been made. Not our favorites, but the one that would be most likely to win an Oscar or should have won an Oscar when they were made. We'll do that up next right here on Hittin' Season. And we're back with Hittin' Season. So real quick, guys, before we jump into the Oscar stuff here at the very end, which, by the way, there's some upsets as we're recording this. I'm sure, Liz, you're keeping a close tabs on this. I've got
It's on in front of my face.
I had a feeling. Mute. I've been watching you tweet as we podcast because I got my tweet deck up here, and I think that's
no,
awesome.
No, Barbara Streisand looked like a velour homeless person with a matching hat. Though her plastic surgeon is a god, her face has not changed in 25 years. She looks phenomenal.
Well, we'll get into her in just a minute, but let's tackle the Phillies preseason games here real quick. I mean, we've only seen one game. And the one game we saw was pretty awesome. The young Phillies pitchers really looked great. Eniel De Los Santos pitched a couple innings. He looked phenomenal. Sir Anthony Dominguez has already thrown 97 miles an hour. A couple games that weren't on TV. Dylan Cousins has been putting on a rake show so far here in the preseason. A couple other guys are hitting pretty well, too. Again, we are really early in this thing. It's a lot of AAA guys getting action here in the early going. But, Liz, let me start off with you. What are your thoughts on the first three games of the preseason here so far?
Of spring training started. Did it?
Justin, let's hear your thoughts.
I've actually got a 5,000 word essay on Barbara Streisand's dress that I'd like to read aloud.
Yeah, like, are any of them named Barbara Streisand? Then I'm uninterested. No, I mean, I'm excited about it. I haven't seen it. I did listen to some of the game. That Scott Kingery Little League home run was the first run the Phillies mm-hmm. scored this year.
Yep. Is that yeah, it? Like that's right.
That's not a bad way to start the season, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty.
You could do worse.
It was pretty comical too. Did you? I don't know if you guys saw the highlights, but it was a center fielder's.
Kevin Kiermaier fell backwards, right? That was him.
Of all people,
lauded for his defense.
Yeah, of all people. Yeah. So Scott Kingery gets a triple and scores on an error. So the Little League World Series was pretty cool, and he's off to a good start. Michael Franco again with another spring home run. Can we trade him to a team in Florida so he could hit 50 home runs a season? I mean, that's what we need to do. Trade him to the Rays or trade him to the Marlins so he'll hit forever. You know, it's there. I've been impressed by some of the young pitching I've seen so far, Justin, because these guys are coming out this AAA rotation. You know, I keep feeling like I want the Phillies to sign Dallas Keuchel or something just to kind of shore up the rotation. But some of these guys, they might be okay to kind of help out. And as they're kind of getting their reps down in AAA this year.
Oh, I'm super with you. Three exhibition games into spring training. I'm ready to tell Cy Young winner and two-time All-Star Dallas Keuchel that he can search elsewhere for a job. No, I'm of course being sarcastic. And no, this is obviously the thrilling part of spring training in which we see a lot of people we're less familiar with come out. But that's why I honestly, I know you asked me about minor league pitching, but I've been looking at this Dylan Cousins home run. Well, not the actual home run, just the illustration of where it landed because no video is available of it. But the fact that he hit one 478 feet that landed on the roof above the margarita bar is, I don't know, that's so spring training. A Dylan Cousins 478 foot home run is probably the most spring. Well, Scott Kingery's hit was probably the most spring training hit, but, no, it's just thrilling to see guys like Dylan Cousins get a hit. And I'm just get time to show how they can hit. And I've always gravitated towards guys like Dylan Cousins, not because they're particularly effective Major League Baseball players, but because he's just like, he's just like a human. He's a hammer, you know, he's like a power tool that you used for one job specifically. And in his case, it is to launch the baseball as close to 500 feet as he can get it. And this is like potentially the most we'll see of a guy like Dylan Cousins. It's just cool to see him come out swinging like that. It's cool to see Michael Franco, even if it's just his typical spring training performance, come out and look good. Hey, you know, maybe there's actually going to be a third base competition, as Gabe Kapler kind of hinted at. It's actually kind of funny. Talking about Cousins and talking about Nick Williams and talking about the early success of a couple of these players, you could see, you know, they have to ask Gabe Kapler these questions and he has to come back with answers. And he's clearly got flashcards. I think I've never heard a manager say the phrase, he's swinging the bat great, like so many times, yeah. Because he just has to say something. And he's like, yeah, what do you want me to say? He went 2-for-3 today, swinging the bat great. We're 3 games into spring training. We're still adjusting to like Florida weather at this point. So yeah, it's cool. It's great to see baseball again. I think that's what's most welcome to me. All of this has felt like paperwork. Like so far, this whole offseason has just felt like filing. It's just felt like you've forgotten what actual baseball was. And the picture the Phillies have attached to the story about Dylan Cousins hitting that massive home run against the Tigers, he's got like a smile the size of the Milky Way galaxy on his face. And that's just like that's just what you got to remember, that like, oh, this is baseball. And the goal is to hit a ball as far as humanly possible, not worry about opt outs or how many years Bryce Harper is getting or what exactly is going on that plane and who is on it. That's what's been most appealing to me. Those plus I just love those hot red tomato uniforms they wear in spring training.
Yeah. I like the hats anyway. The hats, the Liberty Bell hats, are pretty cool. No, I do you guys remember Dylan Cousins actually had a really big moment in the regular season last year in Chicago, wiped out because of that grand slam that Jason Hayward hit. Remember he hit that big pinch hit home run as the Phillies came back against the Cubs in that Chicago series, and everybody was talking, this could be the Dylan Cousins game, because we all know Dylan Cousins probably doesn't have a big future in the majors. But so we're like, oh, wow, this would be a great moment for Dylan Cousins. What a fantastic... And then Jason Hayward hits the grand slam. So it would be nice to see Dylan Cousins at least, you know, get another shot to do something at the big league level. But there's... especially if the Phillies get Bryce Harper, there'll be a little bit of a logjam there. By the way, I have to pass along this tweet from Adam Kimmelman, who is the deputy managing editor at NHL.com. NHL.com, that's right, your National Hockey League.com. This is another Bryce Harper tweet, gang. He says, okay, so I have zero connections in baseball. However, I have a friend who has a source with the Phillies, and he says Bryce Harper deal is 10 years, $335 million to be announced Tuesday. Is his source right? No idea. But as a Phillies fan, I sure hope so.
Useless.
Folks,
Why is this happening to us?
The 2018-19 off season.
If you have a buddy who works for the Phillies or any organization, if you have anybody who claims that they have inside information on this, and you're wondering whether you should tweet it or leave it as a comment or say it or send it to somebody in a DM, don't. It's a waste of time. You're wasting your time. You're wasting our time. It's boring. It's just nothing. It's just you're not helping anyone. You're just what is the goal of this? To like, on the off chance that this exact deal is the deal, he looks like a genius. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, he can retweet himself.
I'm not
later.
Gonna remember yeah. this guy's name, even if he gets it exactly right. So
I think he was. I don't think he was really trying to break any news. You know what I mean? Like this is some dude on NHL. The guy who runs NHL.com. But I get what you're saying. We've seen far too many people do this stuff this offseason, trying to be that guy. You know what I mean?
It's not funny, and no one cares. No one cares. No one wants to read your tweet, and only the morons will retweet it. And anytime someone retweets something like that into my timeline, I think, who did that, and should I unfollow them? Are they a bad person? Do they want me to call them out for being?
I think they're all bad
idiot?
People. Yes, like, I would agree with that.
Don't do it, friends. Don't let friends tweet stupid.
I can't
stupid
imagine
stuff.
Anyone doing this actually has friends.
Well, probably not. No, the people who create the account, the fake, especially the fake account guys, absolutely not. No, they're in a very lonely place, and I, you know, I feel a little sorry for them, but not a whole lot because they're bothering me. All right, let's finish up with a little bit of baseball movie talk. Obviously, as the Oscars are going on right now, Liz will keep us up to date on when they announce Best Picture, which should be happening momentarily. But the best baseball movie ever done, guys. We all have, I think, our favorites or movies we like probably more than others. But I'm trying to think of the best made baseball movie ever. And I know you guys have talked about this a little bit on Continued Success at times, kind of done a rough movie list, but you guys didn't cover nearly all of the movies or half the movies or a quarter of the baseball movies that are out there. So let me start with you guys. Liz, let me start with you. What is the best baseball movie ever made? Not your favorite or the one, you know, just that you think if you had to put all the baseball movies up for an Oscar, which one would be most likely or most deserving to win Best Picture?
Well, I gave this some thought, and I went in a different direction with it because I thought, all right, well, what is what I think one of the best baseball movies? I'm a huge fan of Bull Durham. It's not a drama. It's a comedy. And the Oscar that it would win would be Best Original Screenplay. I actually, to be honest, I don't recall if it has source material, but I would assume it's the Best Original Screenplay. It came out in 1988, and so I went looking at the Oscars from 1988. Or from 1989, the next year. And it is the year of movies no one remembers. The Accidental Tourist, Rain Man, it ages poorly. Rain Man is kind of horrible now. I think Rain Man won Best Picture. There's Dangerous Liaisons. It's all bad. Bull Durham would have had a chance at Best Screenplay this year. So that is my answer.
Okay. All right. Justin, how about you?
The best baseball movie of all time is, of course, Night Game, starring Roy Scheider in his sweatiest, most shirtless performance as a detective tracking a killer who only strikes when the Houston Astros ace pitcher Silvio Barreto pitches and wins night games at the Astrodome. I'm spoiler alerting you right now. This is the solution.
I was not expecting this one, Justin. I got to be honest.
The solution to the mystery is, of course, that the killer was former disgruntled Astros pitcher Floyd Epps, who lost his hand in a bus accident while a minor leaguer and had it replaced with a sharp hook that he now uses to slash the throats of women in hopes that by killing these women, he steals the headlines from Silvio Barreto, the pitcher who he has this rivalry against, and will thus like take attention away from his success and make it all about his murders. He is eventually shot to death in a beachfront restaurant by Roy Scheider.
I was going to say Eight Men Out, but now that feels like a pretty quaint, boring.
Oh, that's a good one, John. That one actually has some respectability and all that. Like that's.
I'm sorry.
What, no, that's
what was
great.
What was not respectable about what I just said?
I'm not. I think we're long overdue for a baseball slasher flick to win Best Picture. I totally agree with you 100%.
Let me go ahead and read. I'm going to go ahead and read the slogan from the movie poster. Just to,
I wish you
as,
would.
As if I didn't drive my point home already. Strike one, there's a killer on the loose. Strike two, you never know when he'll strike next. Strike three, too late.
Oh,
this is back before there was a word limit on slogans, and they basically wrote another full movie on the movie poster instead of just having like one succinct line. But I feel like the overall vibe of the film comes across.
I'm going to have some night terrors tonight thinking about it. So thank you for that as we're recording late in the evening. And Green Book won the Oscar for Best Picture, Liz, which I know you're thrilled about.
Crash Part 2. If you like this movie, I'm sorry, you're wrong.
I didn't see it. The only movie I saw this year that was nominated for an Oscar was Black Panther. That's the only one, and I saw it on Netflix at home. You know,
and that won a few Oscars.
It did.
This evening.
It did. I thought it was going to win Best Picture, given how things were going, but as it turns out,
no. I had in our family Oscar pool, I won with 16 out of however many there were, and I called Green Book as Best Picture because the Oscars will always disappoint you.
Yeah, I think if you go for the most disappointing, you're probably going to win most of those things. So, Well, that'll do it for this episode of Hittin' Season, everybody. Just a reminder that when the Bryce Harper news hits, we will, of course, have an emergency podcast for you, whether it's myself on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night, or it's me and Justin and Liz, or Justin and Liz are doing a bonus continued success, or however we figure out how to do it. We will have your Bryce Harper content coming at your ears as soon as possible, and we'll get you the bonus podcast. In the meantime, make sure to continue to listen to Continued Success and The Dirty Inning. Some new episodes out on the Good Fight podcast feed as well. Tell your friends about the Good Fight podcast feed. Have them subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. That does go a long way to helping other Phillies fans find this fine podcast. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to y'all next time right here on Hittin' Season.